Well, praise God. I'm mean, glad you didn't get blown away. I'll tell you now, over in our neighborhood, it was a miracle. And we are grateful for God's goodness and grace. So, wow. How many of you don't have electricity? Well, good bunch of you. How many of you still got the power? Hallelujah. Well, we are so grateful. Jen and I did get out a little bit yesterday afternoon after a pretty good hard day with the chainsaw and trying to cut our way out and just see all the devastation. And we're so grateful. I have no record of anyone being hurt seriously. For that, we're grateful. And we thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah. It's good to see all of you here. I know Pastor Eddie and Mickey miss being here. But I know they're a great blessing there in St. Joe, and they're having a time. So they'll be back tomorrow. God's intention this morning, but I want you to get this. It's God's intention. No one hearing my voice, either online or here in person, no one does God want to be left out. Please hear that. This is your morning. This is the morning. No one left out. Hallelujah. God's will is that you get on the front. How many of you know in heaven they don't have a back alley? Everybody lives on main drag. Hallelujah. So I'm so grateful. So let me tell you, I want to talk about what you see on the screen there. I want to talk about this real Jesus. So if you have your Bible, we're going to land in a couple of places. To start with, over in Matthew 16, 16th chapter, you would know it well, but I'm going to read it because it was a desire and a revelation in Caesarea Philippi. Look at verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, others say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets." But it always comes down to this. And he said to them, "But who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Do I know about Jesus or do I know the real Jesus?" And then the next verse, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood." Now watch this. "Has not revealed this to you." You don't know what you just said by looking at me, because my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. The real Jesus is revealed in the human heart by the work of the Holy Spirit in the power of revelation. And then in the next verse, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now don't get sidetracked. He wasn't building it on a man, the Apostle Peter. He's building it on the revelation that Peter had. Peter said, "I know who you are. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said, "Upon that revelation, I will build the church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it." That's what the Bible says. The revelation of the name of Jesus will prevail over any and all darkness that the devil may release. That's just the fact. Next verse. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." I will give you the keys. What are the keys? You can talk about the blood, the name of, but all of them go back to one thing. The keys of the kingdom are the promises of God, but all of them in Him are yes and amen. Every promise is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Whether it's the blood, it has a promise. Whether it's the name, it has a promise. And you can fill in the blank. Notice what he said. verse 20. And he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that it was Jesus the Christ. That seems strange to me. And this morning I was able to pray a little while before I got here. It's hard when you don't have electricity, you know. But anyway. And I look at it, and all of a sudden I knew why he said, verse 20, he commanded them not to tell anybody that he was Jesus the Christ. They wouldn't find out who he was by information, but by revelation. How many of you know we can get a lot of information, but the information turned to revelation makes transformation. Amen? Now, go over to Hebrews real quick. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 8. Jesus Christ. I love this, don't you? Jesus Christ is the same three dimensions yesterday, today, tomorrow. In other words, what we just read to you, Jesus is now who he was and will be tomorrow who he is today. Now listen to me. We don't have a different Jesus than the Bible. The same Jesus in the Bible is in our midst and has manifested his presence this morning. And I wrote this in my notes because I want you to get it. We don't need a new, updated version of who Jesus is. All we need is a greater revelation of the real Jesus. Now, let me just make some statements. I want to talk about the bigness of God. Then I got three touch points here. They told me in seminary to have at least one, so I got three. So anyway, if we get there. So what I want you to see is that about this God that we love and serve and who lives in us, God has no origin. He has no beginning. He requires no helpers. How many of you know that he doesn't need you and me? Come on now. If he needed you and me, he had a weakness. He has chosen, because of his great love, is to engage us in what he's doing on planet Earth. But as far as a need, he didn't have any. God will never change. And in his being, listen to me, there are no limitations. Let me tell you right now, I read the last chapter. I want to make an announcement. We win. You get it? We win. Why? He who lives in you is bigger than he who lives in the world. That's the real Jesus. Let me make a statement or two. First of all, this God that we talk about is infinite. He doesn't, how many know if God is infinite, and he is, he has no degrees. He can't get better. Come on now. How can you get better if you're already there? How can you get in this building if you're sitting here? God is infinite. He can't get better. He is right now who he's always been. Okay, woo. It's going to be hard not to have a Henry Meldon running spell this morning, I tell you. Can you imagine this God that said, light be, light was. Come on now. I mean, the same God that created all of the universe, the same God, is now the same God, now as he was then, and he lives in you, if you're a believer. So, he's infinite. He has no degrees of getting better. God don't have an improvement method. He's arrived in all things. Second thing, listen to me, he's omniscient. He's not learning anything. How many know that God knows everything? Not some things. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He is omniscient. He cannot learn anything. He knows everything. So why do we confess our sin? Not to inform him. It's to agree with him. So why do we confess the Word? It isn't to make the Word the Word. It's that when we, with our heart and our mouth, we engage in a confession and a declaration of what He said in His book, we align ourselves with the God that knows everything. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? You're sitting here this morning. Aren't you glad that when you got here, it wasn't when He figured out you was coming? Come on now. You know, I've noticed, at least in my own life, I often inform God. Well, Lord, we sure had some bad storms. Oh, I'm glad you told me. I wonder what's happened down there. I mean, we just kind of naturally try to inform because we tell everybody else, God, you know, my foot hurts and I need healing. Your foot hurts? Thank you for telling me that. When you understand that God is not learning anything, He knows everything. So a lot of our asking turns into a thanking instead of an asking. So he's omniscient. What about this one? He's omnipresent. He can't go anywhere. Come on now. God can't go anywhere. He's already there. The Bible says if I go to heaven, He's there. If I descend in hell, He's there. If I get into the sea, He's there. God is omnipresent. How many of you know He's as real up here, but no more real back there? The same. Come on now. In this room, He's here. The manifestation of that presence is what we experience in worship. We begin to touch that and my, there's no way to put it in human language of how we feel inside when we've, and I saw Derek hit his face. I thought, Lord Jesus. I mean, what do you do when you get in God's presence? Sometimes you do nothing except fall on your face and say thank you. But think about it. He's omnipresent. Can I tell you, He is as present anywhere you want to go as He is here. Now, I'm not talking about the manifestation. I'm telling you, He's everywhere. If we could just learn this, if we could grab this in the morning when you're at work, in the morning when you're washing dishes, He's here. Lord, thank you that you're here. And when you begin to acknowledge that, say that with your mouth, believe it in your heart, everything changes. Wow. He's omnipresent. I mean, oh, and come on now. He's omnipotent. How many of you know that God has no power source? He is Himself the power. You know, these lights have a source. If you go to our house, we don't have any. You know why we don't have any? The power source is all messed up. I'm standing last night in our dining room and looking across the lake there at Colburn County. I said, honey, it seems strange to stand over here in all this darkness and see Colburn County lit up. And then it dawned on me, why are you in darkness? Because there's a disconnect. Why is America in the mess that she's in? I got a word for you. There's a disconnect. Woo! How many of you know that God is omnipotent, has all power, and is all within Himself. He don't have a power source. He is the source. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob. Listen to me. The God that was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God that lives in every believer that's in this room right now. That's the God we're talking about. That's the real Jesus. Well, He's omnipotent. Is there more? Well, a little. One more. I mean, you know, He's immutable. What does that mean? He don't ever change. God don't change. I mean, he goes, well, you know, we change. I mean, look in the mirror, you know, I'm just glad to be saved. Hallelujah. Our bodies change, right? He don't change. That's the reason that you feel on the inside as young as you did when you were. Why? Because what's in you is eternal. It has no age factors attached to it. Let me give you one more. Now we're going to... How many of you know this word is eternal? It don't age. What God said, God still has said. And you know, if it was wrong then, it's wrong now. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need an updated version. We don't need a new revelation of Jesus. We need a fresh revelation that the real Jesus is alive and well and loosed on planet Earth. And He is Lord. He is. He will be. And I can tell you, when the sun comes up in the morning, He will still be Lord. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you know, how many saved folks? Just let me hear you say an amen.
Amen.
All right, bunch of you. Here's the issue we faced. When you got saved, this God that I've just talked about, I mean, the one I just gave you those kind of descriptive words, He came to live in you. You didn't get some of Him. You got Him. Isn't that right? You got Him. Here's our struggle. It's in a human body. We've got all of this in a human body. People go, well, Uncle John died and got eternal life. If he is saved, he got it when he got saved. Bless God. And when you die, the only thing that happens is this outside just falls off and the inside just steps in another dimension. Come on now, you see that? Hey, I mean, remember, I've gone to the funeral home. I say, Uncle John, don't be offended. Your name's John. But anyway. So I go to Uncle John and they meet me there and they go, oh, Brother Doc, we're glad you and June came. Uncle John loved Jesus and he's died and gone to heaven. You want to come and look at him? I go, I thought he's gone. You know what they're trying to say is who he was in here, because that's the real him. It's now departed to go with the Lord. That's what happens when you die. There's not to be any fear in death. It's just a moving. You're departing here and stepping over into another dimension. Now, go over to John chapter 1. Glory to God. John chapter 1. I want you to see this. You know this, but verse 1. Look at John chapter 1. We're in the beginning. In the Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. The Word there is the word Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. That was Jesus before he was Jesus. How many of you know he was before he was Jesus? Heaven gave Jesus the name. Heaven said, you shall call his name Jesus. Don't call him John or Jacob. His name shall be called Jesus. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. Isn't that amazing? He was with God, but he was God. Huh. Did you know I found in the Bible that it says the Godhead lived in the body of Jesus fully? When Jesus walked around on planet Earth, he had God the Father in him. He had God the Holy Spirit living in him. And yet he was the Son, the Christ of the living God. But he chose to live by one thing, but the fact that he was the second Adam under the inspiration, anointing, and power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know Matthew 17, how many of you know when on the Mount of Transfiguration, he stepped out of this dimension that he was walking in the flesh like this. What happened? The whole mountain lit up. It was Moses and Elijah, wasn't it? Tom and Joe, somebody, and there's two. He stepped over into that other dimension that he walked in by the Spirit, but never functioned. How many of you know if he lived as God, Jesus, I mean, absolute control of the Holy Spirit, but he had indwelling him God the Father, God the Son, himself, and God the Holy Spirit. Wow, that I don't know about you, I'd like to get on TV and just read it. And say to the whole world, hey, he's not a Methodist Jesus. He's not a Baptist Jesus. He's not a Pentecostal charismatic Jesus. He's not a Catholic Jesus. He is Jesus. And he is Jesus alone. Now, let's go further real quick. All things were made through this word, Jesus. All things came into being. How many of you know in the creation, when God spoke, He released the Word? That was the Son. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now watch this. And the light, back up. In Him was life, and the life was the light. The light was His life. And when you have darkness coming, guess what? You got a light problem, not a darkness problem. Again, I refer to our wonderful nation that I love. Darkness has invaded our nation. What's the problem? It's not the darkness. It's the light and the absence thereof. Come on now, right? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now look at the next verse. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. That means, so what's the problem? Right now, darkness has no power. It has no authority. It only moves in the absence of light. Darkness only comes where there is no light. So what's the answer to darkness? Don't sit around and curse the darkness. Turn on the light. So how do you turn on the light? It's the greater revelation. In Him, not about Him. In Him was His life, and His life was His light. So how do you do it? Turn up the light. I want to know this real Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now. The real Jesus disperses the darkness. So, here we go. Verse 14 in that same chapter. In Him was life. In Him. And that life was the light. And then 14 it says, and the Word, the Logos, the life, the light, took on flesh. Now let's take a journey. Hang on with me. Let's take a journey. How many of you, if you go back in the book of Genesis, into that whole catastrophic thing that happened with Adam and Eve, God showed up in the garden and said, "Where are you, Adam?" He knew exactly where Adam was. He's waiting on Adam to answer it. And then after all of that dealing with that, then he has to deal with the devil. And this is a loose Lauderdale translation. He said, "Devil, there's coming a day when he gets here, you're going to hit him on his heel and knock him down, the cross. But he's going to put his foot on your neck." That's a resurrection. That day's coming. That day's coming. Fast forward. A little virgin, teenager, all probabilities, walking around on planet Earth. And an angel came from heaven and said, "Mary, you're going to have a boy." She said, "I don't know a man." The angel said, "That ain't no problem. It's just not about what a man can do. It's about what heaven's about to do in you." And in the power of the Holy Spirit, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now she is a human being carrying a body inside of her that would one day rule and reign in the earth. John's mom is about 6 months pregnant. Mary goes to see her. I love it. I mean, I can just see that. Well, come in, Mary. It's so good to see you. And Mary greets her. All of a sudden, she's filled with the Holy Ghost. And so is John. He's only in a womb now. He's not walking around. He's only in a womb. But when he walked in and greeted her, she received the baptism of the Spirit, and so did John. Hallelujah. Well, 9 months after her pregnancy in Bethlehem's manger, you know the story. A child was born. A son was given. A Savior was born in Bethlehem's manger. Little did she know and Joseph know that who was in that manger. But oh, aren't you glad that the journey that they went on, and when he was at his bar mitzvah, you remember that one? And I love it. And again, this is a loose translation. So the elders are questioning him. "Huh. Well, who are you?" But this is my words. Actually, I got it from a dear brother in the Lord. I loved the way he said it. He said, "Well," he said, "on my daddy's side, I'm from eternity to eternity. On my mama's side, she just left. How many of you know that was what happened? Because they lost Jesus. Where is Jesus? He said, I must be about my Father's business. When he was 30 years old, he steps into Jordan River. He walks up to John and said, John, you baptized me. John said, I need to be baptized by you. He said, coming later, you do me now. Baptized him. Guess what? Came up out of the water. Heaven opened. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. He began a ministry, showing the world what Jesus is like, what the Father's like through Jesus the Son. Well, when he was around 33 years of age, he finds himself down the Kidron Valley over a place called the Mount of Olives. Been there, prayed there, been in the same garden he prayed in. There's still an anointing there. We prayed, Father, if there's any other way to get around this, so let it be. Prayed more than once, as you know, until his sweat became like drops of blood, because he knew what would have to happen at the cross. But he didn't back up. You know why? It's because of you. Yeah, he died with the whole world. Until you get it like this, he died for me. He's not real to me. Father, whatever you want to do, it's all right. Let thy will be done. And the process begins. They come to get him, as you know. Jesus heads it up. Take him down the Kidron Valley, back to the Praetorium. There they're going to try him. And the only way they can is they got to do it with a lie because of the truth he walked in. You know the story. They sentenced him to death. Took him down to Via Dolorosa. Walked down that general. Had the privilege of walking down the Via Dolorosa where he drugged the cross. Isaiah said, like a sheep led to slaughter. He didn't fight, resist. He laid his hands down. And nailed his hands and his feet. And they raised him up. Listen to me. He did that for you. Do you believe he did that for you? He died as you. He died for you. 6 hours later, because the suffering went through is beyond imagination, because I don't want to get too far into it. It's beyond imagination, the suffering. 6 hours later, bowed his head, said it's finished. Guess what happened? Earth responded. There was an earthquake. Earthquake worked its way down to that Holy of Holies. And all of a sudden, from the top to the bottom, the curtain ripped. God opened his arms and said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life forever. I cannot that we're grateful. Hallelujah. The Bible said, when he died, you died. Come on, that's a whole deal. It's in the Bible. When he died, you died. When they put him in the tomb, they put you in a tomb. Can you imagine? They took him down, put him in a tomb, rolled the stone. Behind that stone was your old life. Hidden. And you know, I think the devil and his demons were having the party of all parties, because he didn't know. It's in the Bible. He didn't know that Jesus would be raised from the dead. He didn't know that one. He missed that. Aren't you glad? On the third day, hallelujah, when they got there to anoint his body, on the third day, stone was rolled away. An angel sitting there. We're looking for this Jesus. I love it. We're about to celebrate. He's not here. Where is he? He's risen from the dead. He's conquered the devil. He's conquered death and the grave. And he is triumphant. And I want you to know, when he came out, you came out with him. Aren't you glad? If I was buried with him when he walked out that Sunday morning, hallelujah, Friday was an awful day. Saturday's beyond imagination. But Sunday morning came. I want to speak over you. Sunday morning has already come. Hallelujah. Well, I was buried with him. I died with him. Now I came out of the grave with him. And for 40 days he walks around on planet Earth, revealing himself to at least 500 people. We know that. The Bible says so. After 40 days, he ascends back into heaven and sits down at the right hand of the Father. Well, how many of you know the Bible said if he wouldn't sat down, of course, no priest had ever sat down, but bless God, it's over now. Now this is, you got to know, this is country language. I think when he sat down, he said, "That's it, boys. Don't need to do nothing else. I've done it all." Then the Bible said, if he ascended and sat down, we ascended and sat down with him. And today, if you're a believer, you are seated in him at the right hand of the Father. I didn't say that. It's right here. Then when he sat down, he said, I'm going to send another. I love the word. I did a whole study on the word another. And put it in simple language. Jesus said, I'm going to send another one just like me. Go tarry in Jerusalem. It'll be 10 days, but on Pentecost. On Pentecost, there will be someone from heaven come like me. Not only to baptize you with power, but to live in you. Do you realize he that has the Spirit of God in him is a believer born again? I'm not talking about the baptism. The birth of the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, the Spirit of God came to live in you. The same Spirit is just like Jesus. The real Jesus lives in you. Listen to me. It's not an idea. It's not just a concept. It's a living reality. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Now, so he, that's how he lived, in bodily form. So let's take it another level. Let me real quick. I don't know what time it is. Just getting started. The thing I want you to see is there's the two dimensions of us as believers. Here they are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You know it by heart. If any man be, he's a new what? Creation. The word new is the word you. If any man be in Christ, he is now what he's never been before. How many know you can take on teaching, you can take on denomination, you can take on whatever without knowing the new creation? If any man be, watch this, in Christ. How many know if you're in Christ, you're in Christ. When you got saved, you stepped into Jesus, the Jesus we've been talking about. Not some religious Jesus. This is the real Jesus. You stepped into Jesus and became a new creation. How many of you know your sins have been forgiven? So how many did he not forgive? Justification, just as if you had never sinned one time. I don't know about you, but that's shouting ground. Well, I was a drunk and I was a prostitute and I was this and I was a thief and I was this. And if you were to ask God that, he'd go, I don't remember. He said, I put your sins as far as the east and from what? Watch this. And remember them no more. My God, that's the reason they call it new. But that's not the whole story. Christ in you. But Colossians 1:27 said when you got saved, Christ came to live in you. Come on now. I am in him, but he's in me. And every believer in this house, you are in him, and he is in you. Well, glory to God. What does that make you? That makes you one that is carrying and is defined in the Bible as the body of Christ. Why would we want to fight against each other? If I knew you were the body of Christ, I mean, why would I want to do that? Why? Why would I want to be critical and mean and ugly to a brother or sister? Because they are the body of Christ. Christ in you. You in Christ. That's the real Jesus. Listen, I don't know how to say this. It may be coming out the way I don't want it to, but don't settle for some kind of, in this house, isn't it? Don't settle for religion. Listen, don't settle for just going to church. Going to church is wonderful. But we've been pretty good at developing a churchianity, but not so good at developing a Bible Christianity. I'm not talking about this. I'm just, don't settle. Listen, he's here. There's someone here. Don't settle for that. I hope he's here. Settle for this. I know he's here. Now, let me touch on one more. And I've already stated it, but I want to say it again. Who he was is who he is. And who he is will be who he will always be. Remember that scripture over in Hebrews? Yesterday, today, forever. Now, how many of you know we live in a thing called time? You ever notice that? We define our life by time. What time? We get out. What time? Nothing wrong with that. God created time. God was before time in eternity. He created time. And he will end time. And he is not limited by my time. Right. But how many of you know that God gave us everlasting life? You know what the Bible says? He gave you everlasting life has a beginning, but it don't have an end. That means there was a time you didn't have it. You're not born saved. You were born under the blood till accountability, but you were not born again. But when look at the word eternal. Eternal is now. Come on now. You know what eternal is? It's now. It'll always be now. Because why? It don't live in time. It's now. And so this kind of God lives in every believer. This eternal God that gave me everlasting life, he is who he was and will be who he is and always will be because he'll never change. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to listen to this. John 15, Pastor shared it, I think it may have been Wednesday night, I'm not sure. John 15, this is what it says. You know the story. The vine and the branches. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. And my Father is the vine dresser. In other words, he takes care of the vineyard. Jesus, guess where the fruit is? On the branch. Guess what? If he's got a problem with the branch, what does he do? Chip, chip. How many know? Chip, chip, cut away. Because there's three levels that he said, I want you to bear fruit. Then I want you to bear more fruit. Then I want you to bear much fruit. Three levels. But the life of Jesus, it's flowing into the branch. The beauty of that is he is our life expressing ourselves. Why don't we just make a internal resolution? I'm going to share him with everybody that'll stand still long enough. I don't mean to be belligerent or I'm just saying, is he worth giving away? Listen to him. How many know when God gives you something, he still has what he gave you? Because he gave it to you, doesn't diminish his amount. Well, I've heard people say, well, you know, I know God's busy. Really? I mean, I'm not going to tell you. We were sitting at a funeral, sitting behind or in front, I don't remember, close enough that I could hear the conversation. And this, I bet they went to church every Sunday. Well, he died and got his wings. Where's that in the Bible? He didn't get no wings. He stepped into life that he had while he was on planet Earth. You don't die and become an angel. For God's sake, God created angels. You're not going to become an angel. You're going to become everything God created you to be in that other dimension. And it'll be eternal. I've heard of people that had these out-of-body visit heaven. I've never been there like that. Say that I've talked to somebody that they knew, a friend, that'd been dead for years. How long you been here? Well, we just got here. Huh. I'm talking in times. They're thinking eternal. You see what you got to look forward to? To live as Christ. What is it? Die is gain. So, let me give you an illustration or two here that touches my heart greatly. A few years ago, in Guatemala, there was a place called Amalunga. Have you ever heard what happened at Amalunga? Yeah, a number of you. June, she's been once. I've been able to go there twice. We had Pastor Mariano, who was one of the head pastors of the little group that was praying. It was a town just high in the mountains of Amalunga. Then it was about 20,000, probably. It's more than that now. But anyway, 4% Christian, 4%. 96% heathen or dead religion. And so this little group of preachers started praying for God to move in their city. Pastor Mariano said this. And we were praying. He said, one night I'm praying, and the devil himself came to me. Didn't send a demon. The devil himself, Pastor Mariano said, the devil came to me and said, you can't have them. They're mine. And laughed. Pastor Mariano said, you better laugh tonight because you won't laugh in the morning. This is what he said. When daylight broke the next morning, he said something shifted in Amalunga. And people started coming to Jesus, 600 and 700 a day. I'm telling you fact. This is not a day. And everything changed. Everything. Not only did they start getting saved, but the hundreds and the hundreds and the thousands. God touched the land. I mean, I have eaten food out of that land. I mean, carrots look like weapons. I'm telling you, radishes look like apples. I mean, lettuce, cabbage is big. It's unreal. So I walked in that land. It just looked like normal land. A friend of ours, I don't know how he got it done, he got some in a bottle and took it to Auburn University. To the lab there and wanted them to test it to see what was in it. This is a fact. And he wrote me the note and told me what they said. Auburn University tested the soil and sent word back to our brother, and he to me, he said, won't grow vegetables. There's something missing in it. Mark and Robin just was down there a few weeks ago, and the word I got, it's still happening. Do you see a glimmer of hope here? This real Jesus. This real Jesus that lives in you. Wow. When I look at, I challenge myself, I'm saying, Lord, have we in America developed a cultural perspective of who Jesus is or a biblical reality? Because the Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee, healed the sick, raised the dead, walked on water, is the same Jesus that lives in my heart and in yours. Hadn't changed any. I mean, well, whatever happened to the demons? Well, now we dress them up and elect them to office. Oh, man, no, that was okay. Come on now, how many of you know what I'm talking about? We just dress them up, make them look nice. Now you go across the border down there, and they're not near as nice down there. Whatever happened to them? They're still here. If the demons are still here, what do you think? Is Jesus not the same? I was The last time I was, Jen and I were here on Sunday, I don't even know what, 3 weeks ago maybe? I'm sitting right there in my seat. And I felt in my heart the whisper of the Lord. I'm just that little gentle voice, the little whisper. And I thought, Bill, I heard the whisper that says, tell the people, it's trade day. And I thought I was supposed to say it, but I said, Lord, if you open it, fine. Like Brother Gary had a word, it hadn't happened yet, Brother Will. It didn't, and that's fine. And I said, trade day. He said, you tell them. They've been carrying hurt. I'm not talking about, well, Alabama and Auburn just lost their back. That's not the disappointment I'm talking about here. Now, you may be hurting over that, but get over it. But anyway. He said they're carrying disappointment. They carry it, and it affects them all the time. You tell them it's trade day. Bring your disappointment and leave it at the feet of Jesus and leave it, and you will walk out of here without what you walked in here with. I wonder, when I look around and see what's happening all over our planet, in America, outbreaks of moves of God, and everywhere that I find one that's happening, you know what the center of it is? The real Jesus. We have a generation of people right now that are not so interested in the church as they've known it, but they're interested in the Jesus who is. That's what's going on. They're not after more church life. Nothing wrong with church life. I said, as they have experienced it. And I want to ask, how many people in this congregation that are under 25? Would you raise your hand? You're under 25 years of age. Well, how many wish you were? No, don't lose your hand. You know what I think? I think if you're hungry for more, God will ignite something in you that will satisfy you even into eternity. And so as the worship team comes, I'm going to ask every person that feels led, don't come because somebody else is, but if you're under 25, I want you to come and find your place. Right? Don't stand, kneel. If you want more, I want you to come right here. God's going to use you. If you're under 25 and you're comfortable with it, I want you to come stand right here. No, kneel right here, not stand. Anybody? I want more. I want more. Amen. Well, okay, we'll take that side. Okay, just come on. It's okay. I may believe that God is going to engage a young generation in the move of God that's on planet Earth. Yes. Now I want you to just begin to pray and ask God, guys, all of you ladies and over here to my right, just begin to say, Lord, I want more. All you got to do is ask Him. And let me tell you, He's not, how many know He's not stingy? All He needs is a hungry heart. Glory to God. Amen. Now let me just obey God here a minute. If you're here and you fit what I'm talking about, you've been carrying this hurt. Nobody's going to ask you what it's about. That's nobody's business. It's between you and the Lord. But you're tired of carrying it. It's not about those. Oh, everybody's been disappointed, for heaven's sake. We know that. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what you carry. And you want to leave it with Jesus. I want you to come and stand knee, whatever posture you want to get in, right before the podium. Would you do that? Would you bring it? Come on now. Come on now. I've got one. I mean, there ought to be 50 down here right now, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. I want you to come, please. Bring the hurt. You're coming to Jesus to bring the hurt and leave it. Just come on.
If I sit down, I can't get up.
Okay, well, just stand, darling. Get. You sit over in the chair. That's fine. Just come on. Get right here before me. You can kneel. You can, whatever posture you can get in. Bring it. Isn't this wonderful? What it does for all of us, this hurt thing. And I'm just asking you, every one of you that came, I'm asking you to do this. Give it to Jesus and leave it at His feet. Okay? If you want to pray for somebody while you're here, that's fine, but you deal with it first. You come and find you a place. Leave your disappointment with Jesus. This is a trade day. You're trading off nothing and getting everything. Thank you, Lord. Isn't the Lord good? I mean, all you young people, you just, all you have, cry out for more. I'm telling you, I want more. More, Lord. Lord, we agree for healing and release over all these precious ones that are standing or kneeling in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we stand up and worship a little bit and just keep praying around the altar? Not altar call is not over. You are dealing with you and the Lord. And if you're here, matter of fact, let's pray this together, all of us. Can we do that? Just pray this after me. Lord Jesus, I believe You died for me and as me. I believe I need You. I ask You to forgive my sin. Come into my life. Be the Lord of my life from today forward. I'm coming back. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that for the first time, I want you to come down here where Pastor Derek is. I want you to come for the first time. Anybody have enough courage to say, I prayed that for the very first time? Raise your hand. Quickly. Quickly. God bless you. Anybody else? I could miss you. Anybody else? Praise God. As we worship, if you lifted your hand, won't you come where Derek is? And some more of the worship, altar team can help with that if you'd like. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship a minute. We still got time. My goodness, it's 11:32. The restaurants won't believe it if you get there early. We need some more altar workers here, please. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Blood so beautiful, stripes too sacred. Oh, how He loves you and me. Price so painful, His cross so cold.
Come on, you go. Well, you know, I'm not what I used to be, and I want to come back and I want to get that started all over again. You come. Don't be timid. Don't be afraid. Just let God use you. Remember, this is a trade day. Trading all my nothing to get His everything. Thank you.